Baz and AJ News.
Well, the good news for Blue Origin is a lot of attention was paid to the all-female flight yesterday.
A lot of attention.
The not-so-good news is that 99% of it was negative memes. What is the... everyone felt outraged.
Right. It wasn't necessary.
I think we all have different reasons.
Right.
Like, no one's like... Wow, that was cool, man. That was very inspiring. Was anyone inspired?
The first one ever done was cool.
Did anyone secretly, this is horrible to say,
okay,
but did anyone secretly say, if there was a space accident, this would be a pretty cool one.
It just kept on going.
Is that horrible to say?
It just kept going.
I thought it yesterday. They're human beings, and I was thinking, you know, I just want to see that thing go.
Watching too many movies.
Oh, it just keeps going.
I was like, die, die, die. No, I wasn't die, die, die.
No.
But also, I was like, you know, how about just a hard landing? You know, like
the
parachute rope breaks and it's like boom, 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 boom.
Right.
It's dragged across the desert. Doink, 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 doink.
They come out all disheveled. Their hair's out of place.
Like, I wanted them to feel something like real astronauts feel.
Yeah. Okay.
Some real danger or a real rough ride or a complication in the mission.
Right.
Because I'm tired of these people being called astronauts. They're not astronauts. If you go into a capsule and then it goes up and it comes down and you press not one button.
You didn't touch anything. Your seatbelt, that was it.
That's like you pull into a NASCAR racetrack parking lot and someone says, there's a NASCAR driver. No!
No, you're not. No. You're an observer.
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, morning, Chaz. Pauling for here.
Hey.
You know, Carol King, again.
It's not Carol King. It's Gail King.
Gail King, I'm sorry.
Big difference. Huge difference.
I wanted to see a puff of smoke, too, but here she's bad-mouthing him and taking going for a ride on his rocket, you know?
Wait, what?
Why don't you?
What?
I mean, she was bad-mouthing him on TV, Elon Musk, and now she's going for a ride on his rocket.
Oh. You know?
No, it's not.
It's Jeff Bezos' rocket. Yeah. It's just,
oh, my God.
Blue Origin is Jeff Bezos.
This gives me an idea of how...
Screw things up.
This is how things go.
Yeah.
Okay.
It starts...
It wasn't Carol King.
No.
It was Gail King.
Right. Big difference, yes. Right.
And that's Bezos' rocket, not Elon Musk's rocket.
Right.
Oh, man.
Elon is SpaceX. Bezos is Blue Origin.
Right.
I just lost it when I saw her on that, and I thought it was for him, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Oh, okay. So you were mad, but mad for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
Now you're okay with it?
For the mad reason. Now I'm okay, but no, I still wanted a puff of smoke. No.
Just one puff of smoke.
Even if they got back safely, but you just saw it was like, oh.
Right. There's complications at the rocket. We don't know where that smoke is originating from.
Yeah.
Hopefully they make it back alive.
When they're walking across the gangplank, ringing the bell, I'm like, no, loser, loser, loser. Man.
Yeah, they're like walking up to the rocket like these heroes.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, please.
Where's Final Countdown?
You're getting
playing,
in an amusement park ride.
Basically.
Okay, this is an amusement park ride for billionaires.
Yeah, an extreme one, yes.
All right, thanks.
Theme park ride.
Emily's very quiet here. I wonder
if
she's...
I didn't watch it.
No, but are you on the other side of this? Or are you like, yes, inspiration to women? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's cool, but like, I'm not really behind on the story, so I don't have much to comment. I was more focused on the Sephora sale that ended yesterday.
Okay.
So.
This is important
stuff for women.
Right.
Brain?
Space monkeys. I wonder what the insurance file...
Goodbye. I don't know. Call back during the top 10. Annoy me then, not now.
What the hell? Space monkeys.
Like, that line was going to crush space monkeys. And we were all going to be like, oh!
That was amazing. Oh, Chuck and Larry.
You just know that Katy Perry's going to write a damn song about this now.
All right, so here's the launch.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, command engine start, 2, 1, ignition.
You see that rocket looks like a giant penis?
It does, or a body massager, yep.
like vibrator.
It looks like a vibe massager, yeah.
Yeah.
Shepard has cleared the tower.
You know, they should have their space uniform should be white.
Right. Okay.
Because they're coming out of the top of that.
Right. They should like wiggle when they come out.
If I had the money,
they should fire out of the right. top of it. Like Brian May came out of the stage at Coachella. Right. It's like five white objects came out of the top of the rocket.
Right. One girl comes out too soon.
Sorry, that normally doesn't happen.
I'm really nervous. Really nervous about that. But try again in 15 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's Katy Perry singing in quote space.
Sounds better in space, doesn't she?
This is supposed to be a wonderful world.
Wonderful world, yes.
Yeah.
What a wonderful world.
Right. Sounds like they got T-Mobile.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. Bad reception.
She sounds better in space.
And then here's Katy Perry talking about singing in space.
I've covered that song in the past, and obviously, like, my higher self is always steering the ship, because I had no clue that one day I would decide to sing a little bit of that in space, but I think that it's not about me. It's not about singing my songs.
Wait. Hold it, everybody.
It's not about her.
Did you hear the headline?
Oh, my God.
It is not about Katy Perry. Oh. Hold it. Hold it. Wait a minute. Stop it. Oh, my God. And I thought it was about Katy Perry.
Wow. I'm so confused.
Thank you for reminding us it's not about you.
I'm so confused.
She should have sang I Kissed a Girl.
We were the only ones who didn't think it was about you.
Right.
We didn't need to be told.
Right. You thought that.
Sorry.
You said you sang?
It's not about me. It's not about singing my songs. It's about a collective energy in there. It's about us. It's about making space for future women and taking up space and belonging. And it's about this wonderful world that we see right out there and appreciating it. This is all for the benefit of Earth.
Oh, well, the planet Earth would like to thank Katy Perry.
Right.
For her 11 minutes.
Could spend that money on Earth stuff.
Jeez.
Just saying. How much did it cost?
No, a lot of people say, I saw those comments, like, oh, we could have fed a lot of homeless.
A lot of things could have been done with the money,
A lot of things could have been done with the money. You know, you could say that all through history,
right?
Like the Apollo missions and all this stuff. When we do something that moves the ball forward, it's worth the investment, because now this is where it is, and now we're further down the field, right? This did nothing for them.
Nothing.
We've already had every, you know, C-rated star on this thing.
Yep.
This served no purpose.
Nothing.
It didn't inspire women. Women, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, but no woman yesterday looked at this and said, you know, I could do this someday.
I can reach new horizons.
There's a new level for women.
May I chime in?
You?
About what I would have loved to see instead of like the celebrities, because celebrities have all the money to go in space and they drive the media, and like the media is all dark and whatever, but like I would have loved to see them find like up and coming women in the NASA program, or like young girls who want to major in that, take them to space.
100%
Take the little girlies to space who would never get the opportunity to go.
That's
Katy Perry, we get it.
Girls who are like way young in the space program, they would never get the, you know, they're 10 years away from like this.
Yeah.
We're going to put you in the front of the line.
Yes.
No, it's Gayle King, so it's a CBS morning show stunt.
Yes, it is.
They're three in the ratings of like three. Who else? Katy Perry.
Right.
No, does anyone care anymore?
No.
Okay, all right. And then Lauren Sanchez, just a reason for her to show her breasts.
Right.
Did you see her in that space suit?
Yep.
She had the zipper down. I'm like, those girls have to be out no matter what.
I heard Gravity did that.
Gravity. She's like, I'm going to get a...
It was so much tighter than the other one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So give me an extra small.
It's a fitted space suit.
I can't breathe in this thing.
But yeah, like, take the young girls who are learning about that, who, not to say that these women don't know anything about space. Maybe they do. But like, take the young girls who want to like do stuff in space.
Yes.
I would have taken them to get their nails done, and then we would have gone to space.
Or celebs.
Great point.
Or celebs we hate and just keep the rock going.
Leah?
Hi.
Hey. Hi.
Yeah. I have to tell you that I was immediately thinking less than a month ago, Musk had a rocket go up that luckily had no people in it and blew up. And then did nobody learn anything from the submarine full of rich people? It was like,
oh, yeah.
Why? What was the point, you know? And it's just, that's the part that's exhausting. Like, if you look at that submarine, everybody under the sun went to go help, you know? And it was like, if these were people nobody knew, everybody would be like, yeah, what? What happened?
Yeah, who cares?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So... that I just thought I'd add to you this morning.
I have to tell you, if somehow God came to me and said, look, we got these five people going in a helicopter in New York City,
uh-huh.
and then we got these Gail King and this people on a rocket.
The bunch, yeah.
Which one? You got to pick one.
Right.
Who do you think I'm picking?
Rocket. Rocket.
The rocket goes boom.
Right.
It's been a good run, Gail.
You know, these five people, three beautiful
family.
Kids and a great family,
birthday.
And they're in New York and America, and they're like, we're going to go see New York City. And they die.
Yeah.
And then these people come back, and they're like, oh, and I was up there for the women and to make the earth better. No, you weren't.
Yeah, Josie and the Pussycats went up.
All right. Thank you. Great point. Great point.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Very good point.
And here they are. Let's all be sad. Here they are coming back to Earth. Now, let's just say, if it didn't blow up, but it just like got caught out there.
The aliens took them, and they were like, we're keeping them.
Or no, just like bounced off of the atmosphere, and it was like, oh, we're going in space, and no one knows how to do anything
up
here.
Right.
We don't know how to steer this thing.
Or gets caught in a tree on the way down. Right, throw a shoe at it.
Here it is. This is landing back on Earth.
Landing.
Clip 4.
Clip 4. Come in, clip 4.
Clip 4.
And you will see a puff of smoke when it touches down. A puff of dust.
Actually, yes.
That's normal.
A puff of dust, last milliseconds. Air cushion that will kick up the dust. It's a very soft, soft landing despite the sporty perception. There it is.
That's it. The puff of dust was
fire in the cockpit.
Right.
Yeah, it just exploded.
I'm sorry. I know I sound horrible here, but, you know, it's just, it's that dark side.
Yeah. And it's a good one. It's a good one.
And then did anybody see Jeff Bezos' face plant?
Oh, my God.
No. Oh,
doink.
Emily, you missed
I
so
missed
much
so
yesterday.
Much.
Oh,
I was at Sephora.
Okay, so this thing lands. And someone from the crew comes running around and looking in the window to make sure they're okay. Then you see Bezos do the same.
Yep.
And, you know, there's different contours of the desert here. And he's busy looking in the window, looking at his future wife's boobies hanging out of a spacesuit. And he just, boom,
I mean, he went down. Yeah.
He went down.
Yeah.
Went down.
There was your puff of smoke.
Yeah,
always a dork.
Yeah. There's a funny meme. It just,
I fell down.
And then he just repeat this. And it's just him falling over and over.
I fell down. I fell down. I fell down. Down, down, down. I went down. And it burns.
Like, he has millions, but he can't run from being a fool.
He's
loser.
Still a klutz.
Billions.
Still a klutz, yeah.
Yeah, all right. We're 16 seconds behind here because we got the delay, so we got to wait for it to come around on the guitar.
And counting.
Okay. Chaz and AJ.
All right, what color am I?
Number one.
All right.
Chaz and AJ.
I guess I'm caller number one.
You're number two.
Oh. Okay, cool.
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, good morning.
Number three.
Thanks.
Chaz and AJ.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
Caller nine.
4.
Okay.
Relatively calm crowd.
Very, yeah. It's early in.
Chaz and AJ.
Good morning.
Hey.
I guess I'm not caller 9.
Number 5.
I, dang.
Sorry.
I know, it's evil.
He knew not to swear. Good
it's fun,
him.
Though. It's fun.
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
Morning. Lincoln Park.
Yeah.
What's going on, Chaz?
Hey.
What number am I?
Is it 6?
6.
6.
6.
That's awesome.
He jumped.
Like a bird.
Chaz and AJ.
Okay, what number am I?
Good morning to you, too.
Yes.
Good morning.
Who is this?
It's Aaron from Old Saybrook.
Oh, you're number 7.
Mm. Oh, boy. Thank you.
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Your phone's breaking up a little bit.
All right.
Good.
Sorry. I'm better?
Not really.
No, sorry. It didn't work.
Oh.
I know I'm caller 7, right?
Nope.
Ah, even better. There, caller 8.
You are 8.
Go back to work.
Chaz and AJ.
Good morning. Am I caller number 9?
You are number 9.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Congratulations. You're in the running to see Woo! Chicago. Nope.
That is awesome.
Lincoln Park
in Chicago.
In Chicago.
We're not awake yet.
I don't think you want to go see Chicago in Chicago,
unless,
do you?
Unless you like Chicago. Get that plane.
Who wants to see You're the Inspiration when you can actually see a real rock band?
That's God getting his back.
All right. What's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Matt from Easton. You guys are amazing. Thank you. You fooled me 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
I was number 7 on the air 2 weeks ago. So
see?
He made it through.
It all comes around. All right, nice. Hold on. Brian's going to grab your info.
Awesome.
All right.
Cool.
Chaz and AJ.
Am I the right caller, or am I calling number 8 or 10?
You're number 10.
It's like you're.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where are your testicles right now?
It's on the floor.
Nah, it's all right.
He hung up.
Okay.
That's some voice, by the way.
Seriously. Yeah.
He could do some serious voiceovers.
Oh, big time.
All right, and that concludes our segment here. All right, Emily and Vince went to the tattoo convention at Mohegan Sun over the weekend and spoke to some of the people there. Here's guy number 1.
I'm here with somebody getting tattooed right now. How long have you been in the chair for?
According to the tattoo artist, it's been 6, but it feels like 9.
Do you have anywhere in your body that's not covered yet?
My
okay.
His what?
His ick.
His wiener.
His ick.
My
oh.
You should just, like, grab that. Grab his D.
Yeah. All right, back. Gotcha.
Yeah.
He was suggesting it.
You're the boss.
What does AJ want for lunch?
My d-
Pretty sure I do not.
What haunts AJ at night?
My d-
You can sit on, right? My d-
Jesus.
We're 8 was awesome.
So he's got everything tattooed.
He was covered. He was getting a huge back piece. It was from like the middle of his back to his low back. And when he was laying down in the chair, he was just chewing on some Red Hots. And I saw all his work and I was like, wow, it's really cool. So I went up and talked to him.
That's pretty
good.
Had
the microphone a little close. I talk loud.
I feel bad.
It's all right.
I feel bad for the tattoo artist eating Red Hots.
Eventually,
that's going to want to come out.
Yeah.
So did he say he was in the chair for 6 hours?
He was in the chair for 6 hours, I think, yesterday. And then when it opened up today, he went right back in. So
whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's and commitment.
They take a while, man. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
I have a sleeve on my right arm. I have multiple tattoos on my legs, and even 3-4 hours is
oh yeah
pain. Like you start to get to the 3rd, 4th hour, some people will tell you no, it doesn't feel like anything, and they're lying.
They are.
The ditch in your elbow and the back of your elbow is, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It's, yeah. It hurts.
The inside of your arm hurts like you would not believe. That's bad. That's pain. That's why I always get a kick out of the guys. So like the tough guys get like the wraparound, except they don't get the wraparound all the whole way. I'm like, really?
They don't get it where it's ouchies.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting next, like, my wraparound, right. And to do the inner fleshy part of my arm.
What are you
going to
get done there?
So I have here, it's the olive blossom with amor fati, which means love your fate in Latin.
Okay.
And when I was just going through my pandemic depression, I found this quote and it just really spoke to me. Just kind of like whatever life throws at you, embrace it. And so I got the olive blossom being Italian. It's the most, it's like the strongest tree. It could withstand fire and drought, and it just connected with me at that moment. So I want to get the whole olive thing wrapped around.
Nice.
Ooh,
yeah.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, the inside, man, hurts bad. I mean, like real bad, because it's very paper thin, and that needle just feels like razor blades.
Mm.
Like nice. Emily, mine has a lot of meaning. I have a popsicle on my leg.
Nice. What flavor?
Yeah, that's the funny thing. People will put something like, it's deep meaning, yeah, you know, right, some yeah Italian tree thing, yeah, right, long story. And yeah then there's like, well, I have a picture of a wiener.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a popsicle. I got SpongeBob.
I have a Game Boy. I have just a that's bunch cool of garbage.
Yeah, yeah, fun.
I get the one that one piece that we did that, what do you call it? The virtual comedy show to get the $50,000. I said I put the sponsor's name on my leg.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Hilarious. Yep. I love that.
It's worth
that's
it.
That's right.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
$50,000.
Helped a lot of people.
It did.
I'm wondering if you can call in and tell us, you know, an interesting tattoo or a story or a mistake or how much you've invested or
yeah
your tattoo story.
Pricey, man. Yep.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Sometimes you get them real cheap, but it shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
You know, yep. So yep those are usually the ones you have to go over.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or like sew that arm off.
Yeah. Or you put someone's name, which is a big mistake.
Uh-huh. Never do that.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. One guy said they had a booth that was just laser removal tattoos they focused on, and he said they get a lot of the wedding bands that people get that tattooed, and then they break up. They're like, they don't want that on their finger anymore, obviously. Yeah.
Right.
So.
A little cover-up.
Yeah.
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 I can't even wear a wedding band.
Yeah.
It just makes me crazy. I wear no jewelry.
Yeah.
I just feel it. I never stop thinking I have it on.
I've never seen you with jewelry on, period.
No,
yeah.
I can't do it.
I gotta yeah have my rings and my bracelets. It grounds me.
Gotta have your ring.
What's the, all right, let's take this call, then we'll play another clip from the tattoo convention. Chaz and AJ, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you
hello
doing?
I got a pretty funny story. A buddy of mine's wife's out, went out him one night. They're partying with some other friends. Some guy decides to start tattooing people at this party. She gets the name of her daughter, and her name is Ashley, and they spelled it wrong.
Oh,
no. How do you spell Ashley wrong?
She put an extra E at the end.
Oh.
Oh.
She got drunk with asshole.
So it said Ashley. Ashley.
So Ashley.
She gets home, and her husband's like, you're a dumbass.
Oh, my God. So that's a cover-up.
Ashley.
You can make that extra E yeah flower right on a little rose.
This is why you don't get... Guys. Yeah, thanks, man. You don't get a tat at a party where people
yeah
are...
Right.
Your tattoo artist should be sober.
Yeah.
Straight.
Very helpful, yes.
Let's play a clip here.
Near a Navy town, and there's plenty of Navy guys around, and I was giving this young man his first tattoo.
What's the original question? Let's go back to the beginning.
I don't even think we have the original question.
I think, I think Vince maybe asked her what was her, like, messiest story tattooing somebody.
Oh, really?
Craziest okay story. Yeah, she was cool. She was at a shop in New London.
Near a Navy town, and there's plenty of Navy guys around, and I was giving this young man his first tattoo. What happens is people start not feeling good. They get a little nauseous. They get a little sweaty. And I said, oh, do you want a Gatorade? You know, get him, bring your sugar up and this and that. He said, yeah, yeah. So I gave him this red Gatorade, and then he was feeling woozy. I went to grab a trash can, and before I could, he just projectile vomits all over my wall.
Oh, if you could pick any celebrity to tattoo, who would it be, and what would you want to give them?
Where I would, like, tattoo Robert Plant, who is the lead singer of Led Zeppelin, and I would give him, like, a little plant. Name him
like
Bob.
Like Bob's a potted plant?
Like a potted plant on Robert Plant.
little mushroom. <So cute.
laughs> She had that immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's waiting.
She thought about it.
She wants yeah. that, yeah.
Paul in Milford.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey. Hello.
It's not a crazy tattoo story, but I only do traditional American ink tattoos.
Okay.
Cool. And I have two pieces done by good artists, but then the other pieces I have, I like to get done by apprentices. I think they also deserve a chance to learn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't care how they come out, really, as long as they look, you know, traditional American ink. But yeah, that's what I do for tattoos. And they're also cheap when you get it done by the apprentice.
Yeah, it's a little deal.
Real meaning.
Was there an apprentice tattoo that you thought, well, maybe I should have got a pro to do this one?
It was my elbow, and it came out pretty awesome. But I think the amount of pain that I felt during it, I think a professional could have mitigated that a little bit better.
I couldn't imagine getting a tattoo on my elbow.
Elbow, no.
That's
no.
like weird skin.
No.
Yeah.
The bone,
no.
too.
Well, I wanted to just get it done. I heard it was the most painful, so I'm like, you know what? Let me just get it over with.
Wow, you're into it.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
You're into it. You did it just because you heard it's painful.
Right.
Yeah. Let's put one there. I want to hear what it's like.
Right.
How many tats do you have?
I've got four big pieces.
Nice.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah, the next one is going to be a can of WD-40 that says, fix me.
Oil can. Oil can.
Why, do you feel like you're broken?
You know, rusty?
No, I'm just in the trades.
Oh.
Or you're a Mr. Fixer-Upper.
Okay.
So you're like, hey.
Actually, yeah, this is my thing. My go-to.
His nuts are tight. Yeah.
Talking about tattoos, Tina in Milford.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Good.
So I have a cute, quick little story. There's no blood or gore or anything like that.
Damn it.
My daughter and I always said we were going to get a tattoo together. And so we have a very, you know, good relationship. I was going through a divorce when she was little, and there was this book by Audrey Penn called The Kissing Hand. And it's all about this little raccoon that has to go off to school all by itself and separation anxiety. So we always said we're going to get this tattoo of, it's like a heart with a hand in it, and we're going to have matching tattoos. So various reasons, she couldn't have a tattoo for a lot of years due to some surgeries. We finally get to go. There's a guest artist who came into town. We go in, and we're looking through this book, and the artist has all these pictures. And my daughter's been through a little bit of a tough time, but anyways, we're looking at these tattoos, and my daughter says, I want the raccoons. And my jaw drops, because she's going to get the little baby cute raccoon, and I'm going to get the big mother's tattoo and raccoon.
I
don't have any tattoos, and she's never had a tattoo. So anyways, we did get the matching tattoo. She has this cute little baby raccoon holding the heart, and I've got this big fat raccoon on my wrist that I wasn't expecting, but I do love it. But it has a lot of meaning to both of us.
That's cool.
Now, do you feel a need to go through like trash cans, stuff like that?
I know you like add to the sleeve. There's like a trash can spilled over.
You run out in front of cars.
No, see why I stop.
I started looking up about raccoons,
yeah,
and they're like the MacGyvers of the world. And I said, yeah, that's me. I'll take it.
That's cool.
She washed her football sheets. Yep. Yep.
They're so cute, too.
So, yeah. Anyways, listen, guys, I do have to run. I'm just running into work right now.
Oh,
so.
We have to go, too.
Yes, have a good day.
We're at work.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Great show. Have a good one.
Tina, thank you. Great story. Eric in Bridgeport.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
Hello.
What's happening?
Let me get you off a speaker.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so back in 2008, well, let me back it up a little further. I used to run a shop, and I had this one customer. His name was Vinny. He was an old-timer. He was a nom. He was actually a tunnel rat, so he's seen some things,
yeah.
And he had some stories.
What does that mean, tunnel rat?
Tunnel rat, that's when they actually build tunnels. Well, the tunnel's already made by the other side.
They get the other guys.
And,
they go in the tunnel and get the guys.
Exactly. And it's pretty freaking dangerous.
Yeah, you don't know what's in there.
Wow.
Pretty dirty.
Yep.
Yeah. Ugh. So he did some stuff for our country. So this guy was
he was great in that aspect, and also for, you know, just the way he was. Like, I had a, I still have an old 50 Chevy, and if I needed something done that I couldn't do because I didn't have the time, you know, he would do it for me and refuse to take my money. Like, he was that much of a solid, solid dude.
Yeah.
That when he passed in 08, I felt the need to go and get a tattoo for him. So he had a 56 Bel Air that was all hopped up, you know, big block, da-da-da-da-da. So I ended up getting the bow tie tattooed on my, my neck.
Nice.
Right in the front. And then I put a bomb on the left and a bomb on the right, like on a 45-degree pitch. One bomb says R.I.P. The other bomb says V.I.N. for Vinny.
That's cool.
Thank you.
That's cool, man.
So so I get this to commemorate my buddy that passed. And a couple years go by, and his brother comes into my shop for some parts, you know. So I go, wait a minute, aren't you Vinny's brother? He goes, yeah, he passed away. I go, yeah, I know. I said, I got this tattoo for him, and I pulled my collar down to show him the bow tie and the bombs and all. And he just looks at me, and he goes, oh, anyway, I need a patch for an F-350.
didn't care.
he didn't even blink, man. I was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're getting a tattoo for this guy's brother.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There was nothing.
It doesn't sound like he had the relationship with him that you had.
Yeah, sounds like you had a better one.
You had me on the edge of my seat. I was like, wait, did he get a matching tattoo too?
Me right. too.
I thought there was going to be some weirdo connection between the tattoos.
Symbotico, yeah.
Or he'd look and say, you know, Vinny was never in Vietnam. He just told that story.
He was just kidding. Yeah.
He was really against tattoos. Right.
That is a weird reaction. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Right. But anyway, I need something.
Right.
Yeah. I guess that's my story. And other than that, the only thing I could think of is that I'm covered. And my mother, my own mother, has never once asked me, oh, what's that one mean? What's that? You know?
Yeah.
What do you got there? Nothing.
Right. But, not interested.
Right.
Did she say when you were younger, did she say don't get tattooed?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
She'd write on him.
By the way, I learned from young Chaz, don't tell your kids not to get tattooed.
Okay, the Mason want them more?
They go and do it.
Gotcha.
Told him you can't until you're 18.
Right.
And I think it was like several days after he turned 18. It's like,
at least he waited, though. He waited. So within the parameters.
Yeah, that's cool. Yep.
Hey, Eric, great story.
Done in a dark alley with a car battery and nothing. So that's cool.
Right. That's right.
That's the worst kind.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Jazz and AJ News. So dead is not dead.
No, apparently not.
Our next guest says he could bring a brain back to life with memories intact.
Nice.
Is that right, or did I read that wrong? Sam?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can do that. Okay.
Sam Parnia.
I can hear you. Hi.
Parnia.
Nice to chat with you, yes.
Oh, you have an accent.
Oh, cool.
That makes you sound even smarter.
Nice.
Good morning.
What was your question? I'm sorry, you were asking, can you bring the brain back?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think that, so I'm a professor of medicine at NYU. I work in the intensive care unit. So, you know, my day-to-day job is to obviously save people's lives and try to prevent them from dying.
Right.
But unfortunately, whether, you know, we like it or not, in some cases, people do cross into the threshold of death, and essentially they die prematurely. I'm not talking about people who are, say, 90 years old with metastatic cancer, but younger people with heart attacks or who have accidents and so on. And what's fascinating in the field of science over the last couple of decades, what has been emerging, is that actually the idea that we have of life and death as being quite easily separable, binary, like black and white moments, is no longer accurate from a scientific or biological perspective. In other words, what science has discovered is that even after we die, so long as the condition that caused us to die is treatable, we can go beyond the boundaries of death and reverse it and bring people back to life again.
How long can a person be dead?
Well, so one of the things that you were alluding to is there was a fascinating study carried out by a group of scientists at Yale University who
never heard of it.
This, that's right. They published their results in one of the most prestigious scientific journals in Nature. And this was in 2019. And basically what they were able to do was they took pig brains from a slaughterhouse. So these were not experimental animals. There was no ethical concerns in that way. These were simply animals that had been killed already for their meat. But what the scientists did was they asked the slaughterhouse not to throw away the brains and to give it to them. And then they took them 4 hours after the animals had already been killed for their meat.
Four hours, wow.
4 hours after the animals were
killed. What were the conditions in the 4 hours? Were they refrigerated?
They were just left out. You know, this was a slaughterhouse.
Just left out. Just hanging out, yeah.
Left in the corner, yeah. They took them 4 hours later, and they took it to their laboratory. And then what they did was they connected them up to a particular solution that had multiple brain protective agents, drugs in it, medications in it. And they pumped these medications into these brains over 6 to 10 hours of time.
Have you ever watched Futurama? The cartoon?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Okay,
no.
Never mind. Then this will not mean anything.
Mean
I'm sorry.
To me. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
so
please continue.
Just to address your point, they were able to restore whole brain function in these 32 pig brains over about 10 to 14 hours after the animals had already been killed.
Huh.
And this was so incredible that the scientists actually downplayed their own findings. And they said, well, these are biologically active brains, but we don't think they're alive. But of course, if you're biologically active, then you're alive as well.
What is the difference between biologically active and alive?
There is no difference. I mean, we define life as being, you know, if an organism, if a being, if a human being or an animal or whatever is biologically. In other words, if the cells are working, the organs are working, then we say that being is alive. But, I mean, this was such a profound, it has such profound implications for all of humankind that at that time they felt that it'd be better to downplay some of their findings. But that's really what happened.
Okay, that was 2019.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Now it's 2025. They must have done a next level, right? Now, there's this Neuralink where they're able to plug into your brain and, like, restore things that maybe, like, eyesight.
Oh, wow.
Have they hooked Neuralink up to any of these pig brains to see what's going on inside those pig brains?
So, of course, I'm not that familiar with what Neuralink is doing because that's obviously a different company. It's a different entity, a private entity. But what I can tell you is that what these scientists were able to then do, and they published these findings in 2022, so 3 years ago, they were able to take whole pigs that had been dead for an hour. So these were not just the brains. Now these were pigs that had been dead for an hour. And then they connected them up to the best medical resuscitation systems that exist in the world. And then another group, they connected up to something similar, but it had their own the medications that they'd given at the first study. And basically what they were able to show is that using their own combination of treatments, they could completely outperform whatever has ever been available in the hospitals. And they could restore the function of all the organs in those pigs over about 6 hours, even though the pigs had been dead for an hour.
Wow.
So my point is that there's a revolution going on in our discovery. And what it means is we can restore life to many people who otherwise were, you know, relatively healthy before they had unfortunately died.
So someone's having heart surgery. They die on the table. You keep the brain alive, do a heart transplant or fix whatever
was wrong with them.
Right. Where you lost them. And you could restore that person, in theory.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit more complicated. But in principle, what we understand is that because society thinks of life and death as black and white, and then we say when doctors label you as dead, then everyone thinks all processes in your body stop. But biology doesn't work like that. Biology is a continuum.
All right, so these doctors must have tried this on a human, no?
It hasn't yet been done to that level in a human, but hopefully
what do you mean to that? What do you mean to that level?
Well, some of the technology that they had used in a more, as I said, some of it is available in very, you know, limited hospitals around the world. Like it's called ECMO.
Yeah.
It's right. That's available, but it outperforms traditional CPR. So most people are familiar with CPR, chest compressions, giving oxygen, all that.
Yeah.
But that's really outdated. That's almost 80 years old. So there is a new method of resuscitation called ECMO, and that has been shown to outperform CPR. But what these guys had done was develop something that even outperforms are ECMO devices, and their version has not yet been done in humans.
Why not? Are there rules or laws against that?
It's just very complicated to get these things started. It's not that there are rules as such that prevent you. Of course, there are rules. It's just you imagine there's lots of steps that have to be put together. And unless someone is cohesively funding the whole program and supporting it, you know, then it takes a lot of time for like a scientist or a doctor like me to try to put in all the different elements needed to make sure that this can be done in humans. Because when you do it in a lab, like they did in Yale, everything's controlled. They can control it. But in the real world, like if somebody comes to my hospital and their heart stopped, there are lots of things I have to set up with the EMT services, the hospital services, the emergency services. There's hundreds of people that have to be on board for us to do this. And that takes a lot of time.
I how many times have you had or seen a dog that was completely sharp as a tack, but its body,
my dog,
was failing?
Right.
Yeah.
The whole back end.
If you had a German Shepherd, you had a dog that was completely perfect, but the hips went.
Yep.
You're not asking me how many dogs have I seen, are you?
No. But
oh, gosh.
It just seems like that would be...
It could be helpful, yeah. You'd help fix the dog.
We have someone calling in right now who has a cat who said it was resurrected. So I don't know.
Oh, wow.
It's a pet story and a brain story.
Sam, I'm going to conference this person in. Kim in Madison.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi. So I'm going to make this as quick as I can. I'm a little girl. My sister and I want a cat. My dad does not want a cat. We bug him. And he says no. So we finally go, well, then we'll get a hamster. And he says, oh, damn, just get the cat, right? So we have a cat. His name is Sandy. I come home from school after, I don't know, a few years of having the cat. And the neighborhood kids are going, oh, my God, Sandy, it's Sandy. You got to come see Sandy. There's something wrong with him. He's really sick. He's down by the brook. We go down by the brook. There is Sandy with his head like half in the water, and he just looks terrible. We get him in the car. We go to the vet, and I'm going, Sandy, Sandy. And he's just like not responding. He's like all kind of emaciated and was like, damn, he looked pretty good this morning. But, you know, he's a tomcat. He used to disappear for a couple days at a time. You never know, right? So... long story, my dad, you know, they decide, you know, the vet says he's too sick, you gotta put him under. Well, my dad was, back then, you're not going to spend money, thousands of dollars.
Yeah, no, I know, back then it was not like it is today.
Yeah.
Now we,
not at all.
Now we pull out the checkbook and spend whatever's necessary.
Right. So then he pulls out the checkbook and spends whatever it costs, $20 or something, to euthanize poor Sandy. And we are just mourning. It's just terrible. You know, we've lost our cat. About a week later, Sandy comes running up the driveway. No shit.
No
Sandy.
Stuff. No stuff.
Sandy. We still had Friskies underneath the kitchen sink, right? That's where we kept his Friskies. And so he comes in, he's eating. My father comes home from work. He looks at Sandy eating and goes, God damn you.
First of all, I want that $20 back from the vet.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly what he said. He's like, I just paid $20 to get rid of you. And
I would have said that. I would have been happy, but I would have bought my money back.
Right.
And he really did. He pointed at the cat. Sandy's finished eating. He looks up at my dad. He goes outside, never comes back. We have a theory that someone's cat looked exactly like our cat, and Sandy had been gone for a couple days, so maybe he was, like, getting better food somewhere else. Then he comes home, and my father yells at him.
Oh, so you didn't bring Sandy to the vet. You brought him looking like Sandy.
Right.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so I got a guy who's talking about bringing brains back to life,
right.
And you call in with the Sandy story.
Right.
I know. So. It was kind of a joke. I just thought I'd let you guys know.
No, you should have called in before 9 o'clock because we were doing amazing pet stories. That's an amazing pet story.
Right.
I tried, but I was working.
He wants to check your brain now, though.
That's a great story.
It's the best story, and if you know Aldo, my dad, everyone thinks that's the best story of Aldo ever. So
the best anyway. Aldo story. All right, thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
All right,
bye guys. Have a good one.
You too. Sam, aren't you glad you got up to come on the air for that?
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
Some brains.
You know, what I wanted to tell you guys, I don't know how much time we have, and I realize that some of this is...
we had more until Kim called, but go ahead.
Yeah. But one of the things to understand, which is very important, and this affects all of us, is that not only do we have new ways, like if we look back in 20 years' time, we're going to see this was the pivotal moment where the ability to reverse death itself, it's not a play word, really took off, you know, after the year 2025-ish. But importantly, as you probably heard before, a lot of people have already gone beyond the threshold of death. In other words, after their hearts have stopped, which is usually how we declare someone dead, but then have been revived back to life again. And many millions of people around the world have already reported unique experiences in relation to their encounter with death, where they describe that even though from the perspective of the people who are trying to save them, like doctors like myself or nurses, they appear to be dead and their brain is not functioning. Internally, they suddenly have a very profound and hyper lucid experience where they feel that their own sense of consciousness, their selfhood, becomes vast, and they're able to recall all of their activities in life, particularly from the perspective of the intentions that led them to their actions and how they interacted with others, and they evaluate themselves in a deeply purposeful manner based upon the principles of morality and ethics. So it's an incredible experience. It's hard for me to explain, but imagine suddenly you're in death, and then all of your memories, everything that's been stored in you, comes to life, and you're processing it, a bit like a computer that's processing multiple sets of data.
Well, they say that when you're dying, your life flashes before you.
Right.
Right. So I brought this up because actually, yeah, people say things like but saying your life flashes past you is a real disservice to the real experience, because your life flashing past you is almost like a senseless, like you're watching a movie and it's just flashing. It isn't a flashing. It's a sudden release of everything that you've ever done being processed by yourself, but you're examining yourself from the perspective of morality. And what's incredible is that they experience what they've done not only from their own perspective, but they say they are able to feel and experience it from the perspective of other people as well. And that's how they examine whether what they did was right or wrong. In other words, let's say I say something to you and it hurts you deeply, and I justify it to myself. Now in death, I feel the exact pain that you felt, and so I can no longer deny that what I had done was immoral or inappropriate.
Well, that's some deep stuff. Yeah. But if you start jump-starting people like Frankenstein, yeah. I want to know.
That'd be very cool.
I want to be there.
Yeah.
So that's the other side of it, is that what we understand now is that what we call consciousness, our selfhood, what makes us who we are, does not become annihilated just because someone's gone beyond that threshold of death. If anything, there seems to be a process where they're sort of gaining deeper insights about themselves, examining themselves, much more than just your life flashing past you. And that's why you probably know I wrote a book called Lucid Dying.
Yes, we're linked up on the radio.
Yeah, it's describing all of these, the science that we just talked about, how you can reverse death, how our understanding of life and death is outdated, but importantly, what are these experiences really like? Because ultimately, whether we like it or not, we're all going to face that eventuality. And for many people, it's important to...
Not if you get this research going.
Like.
Let's go.
Definitely.
Let's go, Sam. Let's get this going. All right.
So
we got to go.
But thank you
for coming on. We're linked up to your book, Lucid Dying, The New Science, Revolutionizing How We Understand Life and Death. A bestseller, too.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on, and thanks for your work.
My pleasure. Nice to speak with you both.
Same. Thank you.
Chaz and AJ, Dumbass News. Dumbass.
Comedian Emily Sierra in studio.
Morning, what's
up?
Hello.
Morning.
Hello.
A Zoom job interview with eggs and toast face.
Yes. Okay, shut your filters off.
What's that?
Gotta shut your filters off.
A British boss was surprised when a female job applicant used a face filter during a Zoom interview. It's the eggs and toast one.
Yeah.
What does that look
like? So, like,
that?
Her eyes were the eggs.
Eggs.
And then the toast face is the mouth. Yeah.
Oh, the toast is the mouth.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the eyes were the eggs, like where the yolk is. And which would definitely freak out a person you're trying to get a job from.
Yeah, what's the job?
Right.
Her eyes are in the egg yolks, and her mouth is the slice of toast.
Right.
And this guy apparently not having it.
Not digging it.
Hi, Julia. Nice to meet you. I'm not sure if you know, but there's a bit of animation on your face.
Yeah, hey, I'm not feeling well today, so is it okay if I don't show my face?
I'm not sure we're going to be able to conduct the interview with this. It's not very professional. Is there any chance you could turn it off?
I can use a different one if you want. Is this better?
You believe it or not believe it?
I believe it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why is it recorded for this, though? Like, who recorded it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it seems like it wasn't recorded from the Zoom, because typically companies will record their calls themselves. This sounds like it was recorded from a phone separately from the Zoom.
Right. I don't buy it.
Maybe yeah, he saw it coming, like, saw the thing on it and said, I didn't record. Like saw her face.
Did he record it?
You're easy to fool.
Thank you.
I think.
Right.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Because I usually, ask you about these. You're like, no, it's real.
Yeah,
no. I think this is a person just trying to
staged,
get views.
You know, yeah. I did buy a bridge over in Brooklyn, just so you know.
Right.
Yeah. We've seen these a few times before. There's definitely been a few videos where guys like, I'm not a potato. I'm a person. Like you've seen, or like, you know, the guy who was the cat on Zoom
right.
and couldn't take the filter off.
That was hilarious.
So you've seen
laughing.
A few of
that
these
was
before.
Good. That yeah. one I felt yeah. was
that
real.
That was real. I felt like that one was real, too. This one, questionable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Now I'm breakfast.
Me too.
A woman fakes her muteness for 16 years to collect disability pension.
Huh.
The Spanish woman, in 2003, she was working at a supermarket, was attacked by a customer. Following the traumatic incident, she was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder and lost her ability to speak.
Oh. Loved it.
After reviewing the case, Social Security granted the woman a permanent disability pension, but because it was a work-related incident, the insurance company was deemed responsible for the costs.
Huh.
Years later, as per regular procedure, the insurance company reviewed her case and found some irregularities, which prompted further investigation. A few years ago, it hired a private detective.
Okay.
The private detective recorded her speaking normally.
Oops.
Oh.
Yep.
Dope.
Gotcha. Just drop a bowling ball on her foot. Watch what happens.
Hey, yeah, she can talk right. now. There's got to be different ways, you know, tickling.
Right. She can talk now.
Jeff and Monroe.
Hey, the backstory to this one is that she's applying for a secretary job and she's fugly.
Gotcha.
Hmm.
That was the official title for it, right?
Or her boss is like a fat guy.
Exactly right. Yeah, and he's fine for it.
Like, yeah, I'm gonna pose as food.
Right.
I'm talking food. In 2019, 16 years after the incident that caused the woman's speech impairment, the insurance company responsible for paying her disability benefits started reviewing her medical records, noticed that none of the specialists she had visited since 2009 had recorded her inability to speak in their reports.
Yeah, she's mute now. I'm not saying nothing.
Yeah. Well, imagine if they asked for all the money back.
Right. Oh, what should we speaking?
Yikes.
Yep.
Yeah, and could you even should. Pretend that now, you can't speak?
Now she's cursing.
That's, oh, never. Right. Oh, my God. I'd see a cute dog and be like, oh, man. Busted.
Yeah. Right. That would be the test. Oh, bring in a cute dog.
Yeah. Right.
Or tell me there's a sale at Sephora. I'll be like, no way.
Or something smells really
How did
good.
I miss it?
If you're a dude, something smells really good. Oh, that smells awesome.
Yeah, barbecue.
Dope.
Yep.
Right.
Put you in the middle of road rage.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Let one go in the car. Watch what happens.
A visitor got naked at Disneyland and ran around their Mardi Gras section.
Oh.
Oh.
But a bunch of unsuspecting families got a taste of this past weekend. In Anaheim, a 38-year-old man got fully naked at Disneyland on Saturday night. He got up onto a building and started running around the awning.
I'm a pricker bush.
Listen, their margaritas were strong, okay? Right. That's all I'm saying.
Right. It is the happiest place on earth.
It's a small, small world.
It was really small that day, yeah.
It's called Tiana's Place.
Yeah.
It's the restaurant from 2009. It's the Princess and the Frog.
Oh, we found the frog.
Oh, man.
Yep. The toad down there.
That's a ugly toad.
Yep.
Those, I think that used to be Splash Mountain, the Tiana Bayou experience.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think they both used to be Splash Mountain.
Right.
And now...
Someone on Reddit said the guy was also running around on side streets and climbed a tree at one point.
Right. What else did you do? You know, when you're naked and drunk.
Have you ever run naked?
Never ran naked, no. I've walked naked.
I've done skinny dipping, but not like running.
Yeah.
Like, right. Be naked.
Running naked, yeah. You got bits moving.
There's things moving.
Yeah, there's things moving.
You realize how important your underwear
yes. How hard it
is.
Yes, exactly.
Streaking, that was a thing.
I did it once.
Definitely streaked a little bit.
Yeah, I never did that.
I thought it was funny back in the day.
All that slapping sound going on. Like you're basting a turkey.
Yeah, I'm 5 steps into, running, to streak.
Uh-huh.
These two ladies were getting, I call them old. They were probably in their 40s at the time.
At the time you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now it's like, where are they now?
But me and my friend, all we had on were our sneakers.
Right.
Which is it's a funny look.
A
naked person is one thing. But a naked person wearing sneakers.
Yeah, like laced up Asics.
Well, that's how you can run.
That's right.
That's how you can run,
they were
though.
Converse high tops.
Although they, oh, and you get caught. Right. That was a look.
Kept it casual.
Right.
Yeah. And it was kind of dark. It was just like at dusk. And we run down, we're like, this is going to be great. 5 steps into this run, I'm like, this is a bad move. Because like my things are going bump, 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 bump.
Right. Things are moving.
Yeah.
Right.
Things are moving. And we run past the ladies, and their laughing so loud was bouncing off of buildings.
You don't want to hear laughter.
And I was like, I don't know if that's a good thing.
Yeah, laughter's not good. It's shocking on me. Oh, my God. Laughter?
I'm not sure this is good.
Right.
I'm just going to keep going.
Cold that morning? Or that dusk?
Did you guys have an end point of, like, we're going to stop at this building, or, like, you're just going to do it till you
Where your clothes
fell?
Are, yeah.
Yeah.
You had to circle back.
We had to circle back.
Oh, right.
So we went through Jimmy Martin's yard.
Okay.
Oh. Right.
Any pretty bushes?
Hello, Ms. Martin.
Right. Are you boys having fun?
Dumbass. 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 News.